This is SB Nation Radio.
Great moments are born from great opportunity.
The next generation of sports radio. This is the Tony D Show.
Guys, I'm bringing the party to you.
Live from the Quicken Loan Studios in New Jersey, here's Tony Desiri.
All right, glad you can be with us. It's hour number two here on SB Nation Radio. Last night's Monday Night Football. It came clear to me that the Bears and Jay Cutler have to kind of divorce at the end of the season. Walk away. They don't owe him any more money. Let's just end this relationship. You know, I've been married a while. I've been married 18 years. And every now and then, my wife and I will run into a young couple. And the young couple, oh my gosh, it's so great. They're so in love. They're absolutely into each other. And Chris Rock has a really funny joke about that, where if you're an old married couple and you go out with a like kind of a newly married couple, it's always amazing if you're paying attention, because the guy will sit there and just stare at the couple and go, oh my gosh, he's actually listening to what she has to say. You know there's a difference when you have familiarity. A lot of the things, just the kind of newness wears off, and there's the initial infatuation kind of disappears a little bit. You get more into a relationship where your faults are kind of exposed, and she accepts you for yours, and you accept her for hers, and you're building a good foundation together. It happens all the time. In football, we get this infatuation early. Look at the Philadelphia Eagles. They're in love with Carson Wentz. Right? They're the newbies in this relationship. They have got their franchise quarterback. He's 22. He's their second pick overall in the draft. He's working out. The coach really enjoys having him on the field. They run plays for him. He does very well. Oh, sure, he makes a few mistakes, but man, this is going to be a wonderful relationship. The Bears felt the same way when they landed Jay Cutler from the Denver Broncos. Right, they were getting a quarterback that had a really good arm, had experience in this league. You know, was going to the Bears. Josh McDaniels was going to go in his direction. McDaniels was actually, at the time he was going to Denver, was trying to trade for Matt Cassel. Just to tell you how brilliant this was in hindsight, McDaniels wanted to trade for Matt Cassel, and Jay Cutler said, "No, I'm not going to play for a coach that's behind my back trying to trade me out of town." So they just sort of agreed to disagree on a working relationship, and he was shipped off for Kyle Orton. So the Bears got an upgrade at quarterback, and it worked out. I mean, they went to the playoffs, even though they went to the NFC Championship game. But now you look at this, and you can look at the entirety of Jay Cutler's career, and you're realizing that this guy is never going to be anything more than he is right now. You want to win a game or two? Fine. You want to lose a lot more games? Fine. He's never going to be anybody else. This is a guy who's not going to fire up anybody. He's not going to change who he is. He's not going to all of a sudden turn the ball over less. He takes chances. He's careless with the football. He doesn't win enough games. He's a coach killer. How many coaches have come and gone, assistants, coordinators, head coaches that he's worked with? My God, he killed Mike Shanahan's "You have a job for life" from Pat Bowlen, because they couldn't get to the playoffs. Eventually, Mike Shanahan's run in Denver had to end because they stopped going to the playoffs because Jay Cutler was not the quarterback that could lead them there. They would start off great and finish 8-8. Remember one game they lost to the Bills. All they had to do was beat a bad Buffalo team, and they would secure a spot in the postseason. And they couldn't do that. So they had to win against Phillip Rivers in San Diego on the road to close out the season. They got destroyed. And so Mike Shanahan and Pat Bowlen parted ways. He's a coach killer. He's going to kill John Fox, right? Mark Trestman. Remember Mark Trestman arrived at the Bears? Quarterback whisperer. If there was anybody that could work with Jay Cutler, it'll be him. Nope. Adam Gase took off. Nope. He can't. He's never going to be anything more than he is. It's time for a divorce. It's time to realize you're in this stale relationship that's going no place, and you kind of want to have what they have in Philadelphia, which is this genuine excitement. And even though it's unknown, that's the tricky thing. We're not 100% sure Carson Wentz can play and have a successful career. He had two really good games against the Browns and the Bears. We don't know what his season's going to be like. All of this high praise is great, and I agree with all of it. He does. He's got the size, he's got the arm, he's got the intelligence, he's got the right head coach, which I think is extremely important. But in the end, we've seen this act before. My God, I saw it with Jay Cutler. We don't know how the long-term outcome of Carson Wentz's career is going to be. Maybe he gets hurt. Maybe he's never the same quarterback. I don't know. Maybe his coach moves on to somewhere else and he gets the wrong coach. I don't know.
The good thing for the Bears is the fact that
Before we go, stop. Before we go, Adam's a Bears fan, and I was waiting for this. Go ahead.
No, the good thing for the Bears is that there's only $2 million left next year on Jay, so they're going to get $14 million in cap room when they cut him next year in the offseason. And when you look at it, you know.
Wait a minute. You're not going down the Jay Cutler excuse route?
No, not at all.
Okay, good. I was kind of wondering if you would.
No, not at all.
Right. His original deal that he signed for was 3 years with all the money.
Yeah.
And then it was options after that. Right. So it's very little to get rid of Jay Cutler, if there's anything at all.
Right, yeah. After the season, like I said, they'll gain $14 million in cap space by cutting him and only owe him two. And I was listening to you talk about Jay Cutler and talk about how you're not wowed by him. You're not, you know, he's just right in the middle. He's just one of those guys.
Eh.
And I just kept thinking of Matt Stafford and Matt Ryan as well.
Exactly, same
and
thing.
Those two teams are stuck in those contracts. Matt Stafford still owed like 27, and Matt Ryan's even more. So that's where I look at it as a Bears fan, and Jay Cutler, they can get out of it after this season. And there is a nice, at least right now, it looks like there should be three quarterbacks in this first round that, you know what, you go get one and you see what happens. Eagles did. I mean, there's going to be Deshaun Watson, Deshaun Kaiser, and Chad Kelly. And then somebody else, probably.
If I'm you, a Bears fan, just give me something to be happy about. Give me something to excite me a little bit. Again, Carson Wentz may be the same thing. Wentz may sign a big deal, and Eagles fans may be like, oh my God, we're stuck with this cat. Because he might, when he's 28, 29, he may be a different player. I don't know. But the reality of it is, right now, you're in this long, we're not even talking, but we don't hate each other, but we're not in love anymore kind of relationship with your quarterback.
Exactly.
Right.
And it's a rookie.
We should call a lawyer, but we're not throwing things at each other. Right.
One thing I want to stop as Bears fans, because I've seen it all over Twitter last night during the game or today already, is people wanting to trade multiple picks for Jimmy Garoppolo or something like that. I don't want any of that. I want a rookie quarterback that you can come in and mold your way. Jimmy Garoppolo has played 1.5 games. He's not worth a first round pick. I'm sorry.
No.
He's not. And then on top of it, he only has 1 year left on his contract. And then if he has a good year, you have to give him a massive contract. That's not what I want. I want a rookie to come in. You build him from the ground up, and you hopefully that's your guy for the next 7, 8, 9, 10 years.
All right, so I watched the game last night, and I did think of you, and I said, you know what? Maybe I'll let Adam have a minute to give us his thoughts, because you see the game through the lens of a Bears fan. I saw it as like, hey, I'm evaluating Carson Wentz, because I already know this act before.
Yeah.
I've already seen, like, when they fumbled the ball and he threw an interception, I'm like, I've seen this act a thousand times.
Yep.
Let me see what Carson Wentz does with it. The one thing about Carson Wentz, I will say, before I let you kind of go off on your thoughts on the game, was that that kid needs to get out of bounds.
Oh, my God. That's what I was just going to say. That was my first thought. He's going to get killed if he does. This is what RG3 did his rookie year. Just stayed in bounds and kept getting killed.
I get it. The invincibility of 22 years old. Yeah, you can take down mountains.
Jarrell Freeman's like, yes, let's go. I will keep hitting you if you stay in bounds.
That one play in the first half where he's running down and he decides to take that turn back in bounds rather than go out of bounds. I thought, kid, take it today. You should never make that.
That was Danny Trevathan.
This is like the analogy I've used with my kids. Like one time my boy, he grabbed a hot pan and he burned his hand a little bit when he was like 7. And I remember him like freaking out. And I said, you know what, honey? The good news is he'll never do that again for the rest of his life.
Yeah.
He will never grab a hot pan. You're hoping. The Eagles, you're like, I hope he took enough of a hit that he realizes, oh, that's a terrible idea. I ain't doing this again. But then he did it again in the game.
And all it takes is one time for him to spin like that and see the hit coming and duck his head and then go helmet to helmet, and then he's a concussion and out for 3 weeks.
Yeah, these young quarterbacks, there's one thing about them. They don't get rid of the ball quick enough, and they do those kind of things. You've got to stay in the game.
Yeah.
This is how you build your reputation. It's not by being tough guy. Look at me. I'm taking these hits. No, everyone in the league will tell you that's dumb. Don't do that anymore. But if you're healthy and you do things that make people go, oh, look, he's smart. He sees the rush. He throws the ball away, or he's heading out of bounds. He gets out of bounds quickly, or he slides immediately. Hey, listen, Everyone will respect you if you finish the season playing all 16 games rather than, man, I feel like I got a rep to behold in the locker room because no. They want you healthy. You're the quarterback. You're the franchise quarterback. Stay in the game. Because if you're in a sling by the third quarter and we're bringing out Chase Daniel, let's see how good that goes down in Eagle Land. Let's see how tough you are when everyone says how stupid you were for not running out of bounds. All right, Adam and I will have our top five, bottom five after week two of the National Football League. A couple of changes for us. That's coming up next. Hit us up on Twitter at Tony D Radio. I'm Tony D. It's SB Nation Radio.
This is SB Nation Radio. SB Nation is powered by Berryman B12 Chemtool. The good stuff.
Dalton back to throw. Steps up. Heaves it long. A.J. Green is wide
on,
open.
AJ.
He's
yeah.
got it. Touchdown. Yeah. Bengals.
Yeah. Hey, it's A.J. Green at Cincinnati Bengals. You're listening to SB Nation Radio.
This is the Mighty Gwynn.
Right now, we welcome aboard Eric Dickerson, NFL great. But we've seen this a lot, that running backs will have these sophomore slumps sometimes.
The thing is that he's going to see a lot of 8-9 man front because of the year he had last year. And teams don't have respect for their passing game. I mean, if I don't have respect for your quarterback, what am I going to do? I'm going to say, look, 30's not going to beat us. If the quarterback can beat us, let's see it. But we daring to beat us.
Catch the Mighty Gwynn every weekday from noon to 2 Eastern on SB Nation Radio. This is Prime Cut.
Keenan McCardell joining us, 17 years in the NFL, 2 Super Bowl rings, wearing neither of them today. Look what I found. Now, you've lived in Houston a long time, right? Aren't
right.
you from here?
Mm-hmm. That is a snake.
Yeah.
And that is a poisonous snake, too.
Yes, thank you. It's a cottonmouth. That's what we decided. What am I supposed to do now?
What are you supposed to do now? Put some snake away around the basketball court. You're Keenan. Not an outdoorsman, are you?
No.
I can just do it. I've already... I haven't asked that question.
Well, they don't have them. Where I grew up in Seattle, I mean, I did a lot of outdoors but in the forest, climbing around with my brothers and friends, but we don't have snake. This is the bad kind.
You're in the bayou, brother.
No. Literally.
Bayou City.
No
huh?
hunting, no fishing, none of that.
Oh, my gosh.
Steve Unit.
All right, let's get off of snakes, because how do I feel about snakes, Sags? What?
I hate snakes, Chuck! I hate them!
I hate them!
Tune in to Prime Cut with Steve Unit and quarterback Sean Salisbury on your drive home. On SB Nation Radio. These are the top five and bottom five teams in the NFL on the Tony D Show on SB Nation Radio.
All right, so after week number 2 in the National Football League, it's time to give you our top five and bottom five. And I know we were going to alternate back and forth, but I kind of want to start with the bottom five this week. All right, so the number 28 team on my list are the New Orleans Saints. Now, I had kind of debated whether I should put them in the top in the bottom five because they still have Drew Brees, and they did rack up 500 yards of offense in the loss to Oakland. But that was pretty much shut down. And you know what? Now I'm looking at the Saints going, I don't know what's going on there. They still don't have anything. So I put them in as the number 28 team on my list.
I put a team that probably shouldn't be here, but I want to just show how bad they looked, and it's the Seattle Seahawks.
Yeah,
that
okay.
offense is putrid.
Yeah,
putrid.
If you didn't know anything before, that would be a legit
Yeah, thing. That offensive line can't stop anybody from getting to Russell Wilson, and now he's hurt. Jimmy Graham is just bad. I don't know how else to explain his time in Seattle. The receivers are okay, and the backs are okay. They're not Marshawn Lynch, so I'm just putting them there just to shine some light on it. They probably won't be there next week, but they just want to show how bad they've been.
Yeah, Jen Mueller will join us from Root Sports coming up at the bottom of the hour. We'll talk Seattle Seahawks with her. Number 29, very disappointed, Jacksonville. I'm sorry, Jacksonville. You had me. You're the adopted team on this show. We want to see good things from you. You were completely outcoached. You were completely unprepared. That nice little showing against Green Bay for, oh, you know what? We're going to give you brownie points for showing up. Well, go to San Diego and take advantage of a team that was beat up, and you couldn't, and you got throttled, and this is going to look like another bad season, another top five pick. You're the 29th team on my list.
I wanted to put them, but I held off one more week. I put the...
Take the plunge, Adam. Well, take the plunge.
I'm very close. I put the Washington Redskins. Kirk Cousins has looked brutal. He's looked terrible. The defense hasn't looked that great, and they're 0-2. And I picked them to be in the playoffs, so they're really kind of driving me nuts, but... I don't like the way they're playing.
All right, number 30 on my list, the Buffalo Bills. You should be ashamed of yourself. You're terrible. Rex Ryan is terrible. Bad football team right there. And you know what? I don't know what if changing offensive coordinator is going to do anything either. I think Anthony Lynn is now taking over in Buffalo. Look, start looking at the big guy, okay? Start looking at the big guy and his brother. That might be the problem right there. But the Bills are 0-2, and they haven't looked good doing it.
Yeah, firing your offensive coordinator after 31 points, kind of pointless in my opinion.
Exactly. That was the least of their problems.
Yeah,
they're not
some other
team.
Issues there. This is where I put the Chicago Bears. We've kind of gone through their issues and what's going on. So we'll just kind of have to ride to see how long Jay Cutler's out. And I feel like I'm going to have to ride out a bad season.
All right, 31, that's where I put the Chicago Bears. They're 0-2. I didn't think they looked great last night. I think they got a lot of other issues. They didn't run the ball very well. It's a home game against the Eagles and a rookie quarterback. You have to have a better showing than that. The turnovers led to points. It was 9-7 at halftime. It looked like it was close, and then the turnovers got away from them. But they got a lot of work to do, so I put them as number 31.
I put the Bills at 31. There's so much disorganization. There's so much distrust, it seems like. There's a lot of behind the scenes talking by players and by coaches about other coaches and players, and it's a disaster in Buffalo right now.
All right, so the number 32 team, I think we have it, is the Cleveland Browns.
Yes.
I'm sure you had the Cleveland Browns. They blew a 20-0 lead against Baltimore? I mean, please.
Yeah.
Stop.
And Josh McCown's hurt now and should be Cody Kessler.
Third quarterback in 3 weeks. Cody Kessler?
Cody Kessler.
I really need to see that jersey with all the names on it now. It's got to be down to the floor.
It's going around the corner.
Unbelievable. Another quarterback for the Browns. But they're atrocious. They're going to be atrocious. All right, now let's go with the top five. My number five team in the NFL, I really wanted to put them a little higher, but I didn't. I'm going to leave them where they are right now because I thought their performance on Sunday was wonderful. Carolina Panthers. Yeah, that loss to Denver should not count against them in any sort of way. It was a tough-fought battle against a really good defense. It came down to a field goal. I don't know why I've got them at five. I probably should put them higher, but that's where I've got them right now, and I really liked what they did against the San Francisco 49ers.
I would have put them five. I put this team higher just because of the way they played and who they played. It's the Minnesota Vikings. That defense is for real. It's a top three defense in this league right now. We'll have to see how long Adrian Peterson's out. They're talking 3-4 weeks. And can Sam Bradford continue to do? Now, they did take the upper hand in the division by getting a win over Green Bay, which is huge. Now, can they keep it going?
That's where I put Minnesota. I put them at four. This is a legit team. They've got things on all sides of the football. Sam Bradford loves this system, it looks like, anyway. It's all of the pieces. That's why they went and got him, because they looked around and said, we got talent on defense. We got some talent here. Adrian Peterson is hurt, yes. If he comes back and plays, it's such a formidable offense now. I think Bradford has found a system that he likes. He certainly looked comfortable in it. I like Minnesota. I think people need to be paying more attention to Minnesota, so I put them at number four.
I put the Arizona Cardinals at four. A huge game against Tampa Bay. They came back from their loss to New England week one and just throttled Tampa Bay. Jameis Winston had a great week one, couldn't do anything, threw four picks against this Arizona defense who came ready to play, and that's what Bruce Arians was talking about at week one. They didn't seem ready. Well, they were definitely ready week two, and they're back to being that team that everyone fears.
We're kind of wondering now about Tampa Bay because it's like you can only be too extreme in 2 weeks. You can be so good and so bad. Like somewhere in the middle is where you should be if you're Jameis Winston. Four touchdowns and then the next week four interceptions. All right, my number three team, and I'm going to be honest with you, I got this team declining a little bit. I gave them the benefit of the doubt, but I think their quarterback has to play a little bit better, and that's the Denver Broncos. The Broncos are winning by defense. They're winning kind of by the skin of their teeth. That's fine. A win, a win, a win. We get the cliche. The Broncos defense has not missed a beat. They are winning games exactly like they won last year, right? Keep the game close. Don't get stupid. Don't get it out of hand and let us make some plays. Well, they scored two defensive touchdowns in the fourth quarter when they absolutely needed them. Aqib Talib returning an interception, Shane Ray picking up a Von Miller-led fumble for another score. I don't like their offense. They run the ball really well. Their quarterback's going to be asked to do some things. But right now, those are two really good, impressive wins at home against two very, very good teams. I put the Broncos at number three.
I put the Broncos at three. Basically, a lot of the same reasons. His defense hasn't missed a beat. I saw, I think, our guy Nate Kreckman tweet out something. They're giving up 17 points a game, and they're scoring 17 points a game. Something's got to give here.
Something's got to give.
Yeah,
right.
And there is talk already that some players are, mainly defensive players, are complaining about Trevor Siemian. My question is, didn't you guys sit and watch Peyton Manning, the great
Absolutely.
Peyton Manning, throw 17 touchdowns or 17 interceptions in like nine games last year?
They should keep their mouth
yes,
shut. The whole season last year was based on bad quarterback play.
Right.
Occasionally some good moments.
Nobody was saying anything last season, so keep your mouth shut. Keep your mouth shut this season.
You're not going to criticize Peyton Manning for throwing picks left and right. You're not going to criticize this kid for doing the same thing. Keep your mouth shut.
Right.
Go out and get turnovers and turn them into touchdowns. All right, here's where it gets interesting for me. Last week, I'm reversing this. The number two team is the New England Patriots. Jimmy Garoppolo is great. I mean, he's great. But now he's hurt. Jacoby Brissett, if that's what they've got, I'm not really sure. Listen, there's no question that whatever the Patriots want to do, that's exactly what they will do. However they want to play, however they want to be like against Houston on Thursday, that's what they'll do. That's what they'll let their quarterback do. But nevertheless, I there are some things that are missing on the Patriots. There's still some things I'd like to see get a little better. But overall, man, I think when you throw in your third quarterback and you still look like a team like, I don't know, they could still beat the Houston Texans, then you're doing something right.
I put the New England Patriots at number two as well. That defense in the second half against Miami kind of scared me a little bit, pulled me back a little bit. But if they go and beat Houston with Jacoby Brissett, they're back to number one, no
Absolutely.
Matter how anybody else plays.
Exactly.
And they might stay there in the rest of the season.
Number one, the Pittsburgh Steelers. That's
yes.
a huge win against the Cincinnati
great
Bengals.
Great win
that was
in
big.
The rain.
That
in
was
the rain,
big.
It was a great win.
In the rain, Ben Roethlisberger didn't even have a great game, and yet the defense
right.
did show up.
Neither did Antonio Brown.
So yeah, exactly. So the number one team is the Steelers. Jen Mueller joins us from Root Sports. What exactly is wrong with the Seattle Seahawks? We'll break that down. Coming up next, it's SB Nation Radio.
This is SB Nation Radio.
The next generation of sports radio.
The handoff by Hoynes to George in a foot race, and he gets away. George is gone. Eddie George putting up more Heisman Trophy numbers.
This is Eddie George, former football player, and you're listening to SB Nation Radio.
I'm Jay.
This is the Tony D Show on SB Nation Radio. Here's your host, Tony DeZiri.
All right, the Seattle Seahawks are 1-1 on the season after they lost in Los Angeles to the Rams 9-3. Their offense is struggling. They're injured. Jen Mueller comes on from Root Sports to help us break down what's going on with the Seahawks in Seattle. How are you, Jen?
I am doing well. As I was just telling your producer, the sun is shining. It's a beautiful fall day. It helps us to overlook the fact that no touchdowns were scored on Sunday.
All right. Now, Jen, before we get to that, I want to ask you about this fine that the team just suffered. Pete Carroll, I guess no contact is allowed in OTAs in June, and yet this is the third time they've done that. This seems pretty straightforward. Don't have physical contact with the players. What am I missing here? Why does this keep happening?
Well, there's a little bit more to the story than that. It would seem straightforward if they were in full pads and if they were in helmets and if there was contact. This is actually a case of two guys going the wrong direction and just bumping into each other on accident. This is not a result of an over-physical practice or contact drills. It was simply two young guys who ran the wrong direction, hit each other, and that was termed as too much contact in practice.
Okay, and that seems to be a harsh penalty. They're losing, what, practice time and a big fine for the team and him?
Yeah, and they're losing a fifth-round draft pick, which
yeah,
is
that's right.
where the Seahawks have found some great talent, some of the guys that you see on the field now. So, yes, it does seem harsh. It is not the first time the Seahawks have been fined for this. But I'll tell you, the Seahawks have done the very best they can. Their mantra is always compete. They're not just going to have these guys do walkthroughs every day. but they have done a good job of training their guys on how to practice without pads, without helmets, still get the most out of it. So this is not kind of the, you know, thumbing your nose at the NFL. It really is trying to make practice useful, still operate within the CBA and everything the NFL wants you to do. I think it's the draft pick that's going to hurt the Seahawks most. They still have a lot for next year, but that fifth round, that's where they find the diamonds in the rough.
Yeah, see, that's why we have you on, Jen. You cleared that up really nicely. That seemed a little weird to me. All right, so what does seem weird to me is that they haven't scored a touchdown in two games this season. All right, so is it injuries? Is there something else that we're not seeing from Seattle? What's causing this offensive shortage?
Well, they did get the touchdown late, remember, in that first game. But you're right, they went a lot of quarters and a lot of time in the game without scoring a touchdown. And there's a couple of different things at play, and I think part of what you're seeing is injuries. In fact, a good part of what you're seeing is injuries, both the ones that have been suffered in the game and the one that was suffered to Jermaine Ifedi right before week one. He was the rookie from Texas A&M, the first-round draft pick that was scheduled to be at that right guard spot. And with his injury, Jamarcus Webb has been there. And while he's a veteran, he has struggled up front, and the Seahawks aren't getting the push in the ground game. I thought pass protection was okay this last week against the Rams, simply when you consider how that matchup looks across that line. You know, the Rams' defensive line is so good, and Russell just not as mobile this last week as he revealed. It is a high ankle sprain that he's dealing with. So I think that's what you're looking at. And that bye that comes up in week five could not come at a better time for this team.
All right, so if they have Russell Wilson who could play but be limited, how does Pete Carroll adjust the offense so that they don't get hurt by that?
Well, I think what you saw was a couple of those passes, and they did have Russell run a couple of times, and they tried to feed the ball to Thomas Rawls early to establish the ground game, but there just wasn't anything going there. I'm curious to see what happens this week. You do have two tight ends at your disposal. Well, you've got more than two tight ends. But with Jimmy Graham, a full go, now you can run those two tight end sets a lot more. And the line, the defensive line for the 49ers is not going to look the same. So you're going to have, I would think, some earlier opportunities to get that ground game going.
How do you assess the way the defense, we talk about the offense and the lack of scoring. How's the defense been playing in these two games?
I think they've been playing with dominating effort. The thing they have not been able to do is generate turnovers. And when you talk to them after the game against Los Angeles, you know, they're lamenting the fact that they weren't able to get a turnover. There was a couple of balls in the air that maybe you had a shot on, but, you know, Case Keenum wasn't exactly taking big shots down the field. If you're not going to be throwing for big chunk yardage, it's awfully tough to step in front of a 7-yard pass and to generate that kind of turnover and those momentum, that momentum that the Seahawks want. So that's what we're looking for next out of them. But I think that rotation on the defensive line has been really good. The play by the secondary, yeah, they let a couple of them go this last week, but you've seen some pretty impressive effort. They still have not allowed, I should say they've allowed the fewest points in the NFL through 2 weeks. That has been my silver lining that I keep telling everybody. They're on pace again to win that scoring title.
Christian Michael is impressive so far in these two games. What about him is that what they like in the backfield?
He is a patient runner now. A little bit more patient, I should say. Last year, you know, he had a tendency to kind of juke from side to side. He wanted to move a little bit too much. With the way this offensive line works, you do have to be patient and let them set up that block. And hesitating just a step allows you to get that teeny tiny hole that you can kind of cut through. He's done a good job of getting small, getting through the hole, and then exploding for those yards. That's what Pete Carroll likes about his style, is the fact that he is a more explosive runner than Thomas Rawls. And if you can get both of those guys going, which is the plan, is to use both of them pretty heavily during the course of the year, you've got a nice combination of Thomas Rawls, who can deliver the thunder, and then Christian Michael, who can be one cut and go with his feet.
Jen Mueller joins us from Root Sports to talk about the Seattle Seahawks, who are again 1-1 on the season and have not really put up a lot of points. People say, look, Seattle, they ignore the offensive line, it comes back to bite you. And I know you touched on it a little bit. Is that accurate? Can people actually make that claim and have it stick?
Well, you can have it stick. stick in the early going, and that was one of the criticisms of the Seahawks early last year, and then they ended up to be the fourth best offense in the league. So I think that that's the easy thing to point to if you're looking for kind of the scapegoats in these games.
Yeah.
And I would say this, you know, you look at the Dallas Cowboys, and they chose to invest a lot in the offensive line, and you can see it come through in the running game without a question. But that doesn't mean that your quarterback stays healthy. So there's always a trade-off there. And if you want the big playmakers on defense and the guys that are going to be, making that kind of an impact, you've got to pick your poison. I think this offensive line has an opportunity to come together. Justin Britt has taken to center beautifully. And once you get Jermaine Ifedi in there, I really do think you're going to see a different type of tenacity there.
The locker room, is it like, do we have like a bunch of Aaron Rodgers clones where everybody's saying, relax, we're good? Or do you feel it's a little different, that this struggle is a little different the way they're taking it?
I would say there's a lot of confidence this year and the amount of talent and the amount of desire that this team has. It took them a little bit last year to get going, and it wasn't the most cohesive locker room at the beginning. And there was lots of different reasons for that. You know, you're coming off a really disappointing Super Bowl loss. You've got Cam Chancellor's holdout. This year, there's just a little bit more togetherness and a little bit more understanding that everybody's in this together. You're all fighting for the same thing. And there's an immense amount of talent. So while it's not quite the Aaron Rodgers style, there's definitely a confidence that Week 2 was a hiccup, and it's against the Rams team that, for whatever reason, has had their number in the last few years, and they can get after it again on Sunday.
Very good point. You're right. The Rams have had their number over the last couple of years. Jen, always great talking to you. Thank you so much.
Absolutely. Anytime.
Jen Mueller, Root Sports on the Seahawks. That's good stuff. She knows that team really well. Again, they've had, they had a touchdown late, and that was it. They had a couple of field goals. Russell Wilson had a 17-game touchdown pass streak that came to an end on Sunday. That's like the longest, and that was like the longest in the league. But still, that Rams loss was a little surprising, right? I mean, 9-3. But look, when you're as successful as the Seahawks have been, the way it works is the moment you start struggling, people are going to look and they're going to say, okay, they are hurt. The offensive line isn't that good. Right now, they've got some struggles on offense. Defensively, they're still doing their job. They're still they got the second best scoring defense in the league. I think they're holding opponents to like 9 points a game. All right, coming up next, we kind of knew it. We didn't want to say it, but we all kind of knew the reason. I'll tell you what it is next. I'm Tony D. It's SB Nation Radio.
This is SB Nation Radio.
Hand off Elliott, right up the middle, cuts to the right, to the goal line. Zeke Elliott's first NFL touchdown.
The next generation of sports radio.
This is Jerry Jones, and you're listening to SB Nation Radio.
SB Nation is powered by Berryman B12 Chem Tool, the good stuff.
This is the Tony D Show on SB Nation Radio. Here's your host, Tony DeZiri.
All right, thanks to Jen Mueller from Root Sports, help us break down Seattle. Adam and I were just talking during the timeout there. It is a very harsh penalty that the NFL has just leveled on the Seattle Seahawks for what Jen said was just two players running into each other in practice. It's supposed to be a non-contact practice, okay? So, okay, let's put it that way. This is the third time they've tagged Seattle with this. And the NFL said, no more. They fined Pete Carroll $200,000, which I know he's rich. That's still a good chunk of change. The team's been fined $400,000. They lost a fifth-round draft choice. And then they lost, I guess, three dates of practice in June next year. This is hammering the Seahawks for what seems to be running, just a few players running into each other on accident? No, I don't know. I don't know. You mean, I can't say otherwise. I wasn't there. But doesn't it seem like... It's like when your kid comes home. You ever notice when... Like, my kid sometimes comes home, and they'll have gotten in trouble. And I'll say, what happened? And they'll be like, we got in trouble for talking. And I'll say, what happened? Why'd you talk? I didn't. She was talking to me, and I told her to be quiet and listen to the teacher, and we both got in trouble. No, and then you call the teacher, and the teacher's like, no, no, hold on one second. No. Your girl and that girl, they were yapping the whole day at school, and I warned them three times. Oh, okay, now I got the full story. I didn't do anything. That's what I feel like when I read this story. Like, two players accidentally hit each other in a light non-pad practice, and Pete Carroll just lost $200,000, a fifth-round pick, and the team was fined $400,000. Oh, and by the way, they lose practice dates in June. That seems a little harsh for me. I think if you actually talk to the teacher on this one, they'll tell you a different story. Oh, no. It wasn't just two players accidentally running into each other. No. We've had this problem before. Pete Carroll likes to do this. We have to calm him down. So again, I was like that in school. I was the yapper in school. I was always getting in trouble. One time in school, I kid you not, I was such a wise butt too. I was like, it was really, really awful. I used to get, like, I had a math teacher who used to kick me out of class all the time to the principal's office because I just couldn't keep my mouth shut. And I remember I got sent to the principal's office so many times that I went and got a piece of paper with a sign, and I put Tony's chair, and I taped it to the chair outside the principal's office. And of course, I'm just trying to get people to laugh, and it didn't go over so well. The principal of my school, though, she was great. She told me, she said, what do you want to do for a living? I said, I want to be a broadcaster. She goes, you'll be perfect for it. That's all you do is talk. All right, we kind of knew this was going to happen. We kind of knew this was really the reason. Nobody really wanted to jump out and say it because it was like, all right. Some people did, but now we're starting to see it. Guess whose uniform is flying off the shelves as of today? Adam, any guess? Any guess?
Is baseball it a guy that played football and now plays a different sport?
Oh, yeah. I think you're right on this. Mets jerseys are now the number three most popular jersey behind Noah Syndergaard and the jersey you can make with your own name on it. The Tebow number 15 Mets jersey is the third most popular jersey. Look, they still have David Wright, do they not? Right? They still have David Wright. He's a popular guy in New York. Well, I guess everybody has bought his jersey already. Who else? Jacob DeGrom? He's popular. Who else is popular on the Mets? Yoenis Cespedes is having a good year. He should be popular. Steven Matz is a local kid. He should be popular. Nope. Tim Tebow, the number 15 jersey, flying off the shelves. In fact, they had a whole bunch of them out at Port St. Lucie, selling them, of course, and they went off like wildfire. That seemed to be a really good reason to sign Tim Tebow. Sell a couple of thousand jerseys. They look nice, though. They look nice. Got the Mets blue and orange and the number 15 with the name on the back. Pretty good. I thought you brought up really something interesting when we were talking about this. What if he's actually good at this? What if he is actually good at playing baseball? I guess he got a home run today. That wouldn't totally surprise me, but I guess because it's instructional league, right? This is kind of you get a little time here. Like, you can't do that in training camp. I know people would always say, I always talk to people about Tebow's NFL career. They'd always say, hey, Tebow, if some team just gave him a chance and taught him that he could do really well. Well, unfortunately, there's not enough time for that. Roster spaces are very valuable. And if you have a quarterback that can't audible, that can't read defenses, that can't throw very well, this is not the place to learn it. There's no minor league in college football, in a professional football. You can go to Canada, I guess, but you can't go to the Arena League. You either know it or you don't. Baseball's completely different. Baseball's completely different. If you've got skills but they need refinement, there's plenty of places to go to totally refine those skills. You can actually take your time and refine those skills. And believe me, if he gets on with a minor league team and they're selling out and these jerseys are flying off the shelves and they're getting a ton of media attention, he'll stay for as long as they want him to. There won't be a moment where they'll kick Tebow out because he's batting 210. They'll just go, you know what? This is where he does that. It's a little bit of showmanship. We usually go really good with the promotions. 90% of our promotions are going to be based on this guy because people want to see him play baseball. Good luck. All right. So, again, the top five, bottom five that we did earlier today, real quick, the Steelers, New England, Denver, Minnesota, Carolina for me. My bottom five, New Orleans, Jacksonville, Buffalo, Chicago, and Cleveland. We'll put those up on our Facebook page, Tony D Radio Show. Catch us there for all of the stuff that we do for throughout the show. I did get something on Twitter asking me where I put the Houston Texans from Raj. I put them sixth. I took them off immediately when I realized I didn't have Arizona on my list and I had kept Arizona off my top five. I like Houston. I'll like them a little more if they beat the Patriots, even with Jacoby Brissett. They go 3-0, and they're looking like they're playing well. I probably will have them in the top five coming up next week. But that Thursday night game gets really interesting with the third quarterback for the New England Patriots, if indeed Jimmy Garoppolo is out. Prime Cuts coming up next. Steve Buhnen, Sean Salisbury. I am Tony D. Again, catch me on Twitter @Tony D Radio, on Facebook, Tony D Radio Show. Enjoy the rest of your day on SB Nation Radio.